your life, your future is in the hands of God. Hello? Let's say that again. Your life, your future is in the hands of God. And you say, praise the Lord. If you know Christ, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You know, if you look at that passage, John 14, 6, closely, he says emphatically, I am, he says it of himself, I am the only way, I am the only truth, and I am the only life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Jesus was not being arrogant. He was telling the truth. He said to those Jews who had come to know Him, if you abide in My Word, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome in the book of Philippi. You have your Bibles open to the book of Philippi. He's chained to a Roman soldier. And he's thinking, I'd like to get out of here. If you were in prison, wouldn't you want to get out? I think Paul wanted to get out. I believe he wanted to get out of prison, and I'm going to show you that in a few minutes. But that's not all he said. He indicates here in this passage that we're going to read in just a moment that he believed, he expected that his release from prison was a possibility. We begin reading chapter 1 of Philippians, verse 19. He says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance from what? Prison. Through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Christ, of Jesus Christ. According to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. That's much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again. Lord God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would make these words come alive to our hearts. Lord, that you would transform our minds, change the way we think about you and about our lives and the purpose of them. Lord, have full reign in us. Do whatever you need to do in us in order that we might be all that you've ordained for us to be in Christ Jesus. It is His name that we pray. Amen. It was possible that Paul would be found to be a traitor to Rome and executed. His preliminary trial seems to have gone okay. I mean, he is under arrest and he is chained to a Roman soldier, but he has some freedom. The Bible says here that he rented his own quarters, yet he was under strict orders not to leave, but his friends could come and bring him what he needed and what he wanted. He could teach. He could proclaim the gospel there without hindrance, even though he was chained to a Roman soldier. But Paul was at peace with whatever his future held. You see that? In verse 21, he says, for me to live is Christ. and to die is gain. Now, those are strange words to most people. This life that we live, we think generally that it's got to be the best that it can possibly be at all kinds, at whatever cost. And we cling to it tenaciously. We would have less trouble if Paul had said, I'd rather die than stay in this prison. I remember seeing a story a year or so ago. There were these guys that got arrested in Iraq, thrown in prison. And they didn't think that they were ever going to get out. And so one of them decided he would just kill himself. And so he made the best he could. He tied some cloth around his neck and he tied his head down to the plumbing underneath the lavatory and turned on the faucet with his head under the water to drown himself. But he couldn't do it. I mean, he got the water and everything, but he broke loose and he started crying out to God, God, why are you allowing this to happen in my life? He said, I don't want to be in this prison the rest of my life. I'd rather be with you. And so daily they would come and interrogate him and persecute him and beat him and torture him, accusing him of being a spy and I don't know what all. And the main guy that was doing all this mean stuff to him just got meaner and meaner. Finally, this young man looked at that man and he said, Hi, my name is, we'll call him George, I don't remember his name. My name's George. If I'm going to spend the rest of my life in here, me and you might as well be friends. And so he reached out there and took his hand and shook his hand. And then from that day on, his persecution got a little lighter, not quite as severe. And he began sharing Christ with him. And one day, he came to the big question, do you believe in Christ? Do you believe in God? And this guard said, I can't allow myself to believe, with tears running down his face. And that man, the prisoner, finally realized, this is why the Lord has me in this prison, so that I can declare the gospel to this man right here. That seems strange to us. Oh, God forbid that that would ever happen to us, but this is really what happened to Paul. He was under arrest for proclaiming the gospel. He said, for me to live is Christ. As long as I have breath in this body, for me to live is for Christ to live His life through me. We would rather Paul have the thought that he's just trying to escape the worst of life than to say that dying is better. He wasn't saying death is better than the best of life. He was saying death is better than the best of life. He wasn't longing for death as the way out of unbearable circumstances. Did you get that? He wasn't longing for death so he could escape his unbearable circumstances. But rather he was saying death is better than the best of this life that you can have. Are y'all okay? He was longing for death, listen, as the way into unspeakable, glorious circumstances. Did y'all get that? Jimmy, did you get that? Paul longed to see Christ more than anything. He longed to be with Christ rather than to be here. But he said, if I'm going to live here, it's going to be for the glory of Christ because He's going to live His life through me. And so, your present desire should be to exalt Christ in your life, in life or death. Think about this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think he's saying, as far as I'm concerned, there's a resolve there. For me to live is Christ, as far as I'm concerned. And to die is gain. It is a settled issue in me. For me to live is Christ, It's a settled issue in me. To die is gain. The sole purpose of my life is for Christ to literally live His life through me. Think about this. If for me to live is for money, to die is to leave it all behind. If for me to live is power, to die is to lose it all. When you die, you have no power. If for me to live is fame, to die is to be forgotten. If for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. If life on earth is just about me, it's going to be hard to maintain a right perspective on life. Ruth Tucker tells the story of Carrie Malcolm, who served for 15 years as a missionary to the Philippines. When Carrie was a missionary kid who grew up in China. Her parents were missionaries, in other words. As a teenager, she was confined for a time during World War II in an internment camp, and there she discovered a deep truth that changed her life. She said, in the camp, rather, she said she was number 16. Didn't have a name, she had a number. And only one of many Westerners who sought self-identity and comfort behind the walls and the electric fence that separated them from the outside world. There were other missionary kids in the same predicament. And often, they managed to get together for a few moments of prayer, and they prayed for freedom. But as time passed, Carrie began to feel uneasy about these times of prayer. Freedom was becoming the ultimate goal in life. And God seemed to become less and less important, except for His answer to their prayer for freedom. So she began to pray and search the Scriptures. Carrie came to a new outlook on life, and she no longer desired to join the others in their prayers for freedom. Then, Carrie was able to pray the prayer that changed her life. Lord, I'm willing to stay in this prison for the rest of my life if only I can know You. And at that moment, she was free. What is Paul saying? He's saying our present desire should be to exalt Christ in life or in death, whichever comes. Secondly, he's saying your present ambition should be to bear fruit for God's glory. Look at chapter 1, verse 22. If I am to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. I'm hard-pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart. That word depart means to take your tent down and move on to another area, another place, to be with Christ. That's better. Yet to remain on the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know I'll remain and continue with you for your progress and joy in the faith. This was his resolve, to bear fruit for God's glory. As long as I live in this body, he's saying, on this earth, Jesus will bear fruit through me. And what kind of fruit does God want to bear through us? Eternal fruit. Not temporary fruit, not things of this world, but eternal in nature. John 15 and 16 says something like this, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you that you would go and bear fruit." Fruit that remains. Fruit for the glory of God. This points us back to the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe or obey all that I command you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. This is our reason to live on this earth, is to bear fruit for the glory of God. J.C. Ryle wrote this, "Ambition or zeal is a burning desire to please God, to do His will and to advance His glory in the world in every possible way. A zealous man is preeminently a man of one thing. He's more than earnest, hearty, uncompromising, wholehearted, and fervent in spirit. He sees only one thing, cares about one thing, lives for one thing. He's swallowed up in one thing, and that one thing is to please God. whether he lives or die, has health or has sickness, whether he's rich or poor, pleases people or gives offense, whether he's thought wise or foolish, gets the blame or the praise, whether he receives honor or is given shame, he burns for one thing, and that one thing is to please God. Such a one will always find a sphere for his zeal. If he cannot preach, he will work and give money. If he can, he will cry and sigh and pray. If he cannot fight in the valley with Joshua, he will hold up the hands of Moses until the battle is won. Ambition is to please and honor God, bring fruit to present to the Lord. Some have asked me in the past, why doesn't God just rapture us off of the earth when we're saved? Well, number one is, if he did that, there would be no one to proclaim the gospel on the earth. And secondly, if he did that, there would be no one to teach his disciples who make disciples. Who make disciples? God's purpose, listen, beloved, God's purpose is to save a lost and dying world, to redeem the lost. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's why Paul says here in verse 24 and 25, to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. Paul gives two reasons to remain here. To help others progress in the faith and to help others progress in joy. I think there's a principle here. Get this now. It's in your notes. If a Christian is not progressing in the faith, that is growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and bearing fruit, there will be a deficiency in joy. It's like a two-sided coin. One must grow in order to bear fruit, and one must bear fruit in order to grow. That is, or progress in the faith. Progress in the faith causes progress in joy. You know, Christianity is not just merely coming to church. It's not merely accumulating biblical information so you'll know the right answers. It's not just listening to sermons and singing songs and going to Bible study and then going home. That can all be done selfishly. It can all be about you. But Paul says, my life is not about me. It's about the glory of Christ, whether I live or whether I die. He was ambitious for the glory of Christ. And was willing to live on in his body on earth, knowing it would be better to go to heaven. Listen, he really believed this. He really believed that to be with Christ was better than to be with the disciples on the earth. He really believed that. He went further than that in Romans chapter 9. Listen to what he said in Romans chapter 9. Now, this is the church in Rome now, which probably was started while he was chained to a Roman soldier. Later, he wrote to Rome, and he said, I am telling the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience testifies with me in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and increasing and unceasing, rather, grief in my heart. For I could wish, listen, that I myself were accursed and separated from Christ for the sake of my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. You see what he's saying? He's saying, I would be willing to go to hell if it would save my Jewish brothers. He not only loved his Jewish brothers, he loved the Romans as well. He loved the Roman soldier he was chained to. He saw them as souls for whom Christ died. And he loved Christ so much for loving him that he was compelled to tell him the way of salvation. Why did Paul love his enemies so much? Yeah, that question occurred to me. Why did he love the Romans so much? Why did he love the Jews who literally gave him trouble everywhere he went since he became a Christian? And I think the answer is this. He loved so much because he was so loved by God. He knew how bad he was. His mind went back to the day he held the cloaks of those who stoned Stephen to death. His mind went back to the day when he approved the death sentence for many Christians. But Jesus stopped him and saved him and sent him out as a missionary apostle to the Gentiles. See, Paul knew the greatness of salvation in Christ because he knew the greatness of his sin. He knew his life purpose. He knew his eternal destiny with Christ. Okay, so how would you, right now, you yourself, nobody else, fill in these blanks? For me to live is... Don't give me the answer that's in the Bible. Give me the answer that's in your heart. For me to live is, and to die is, which is, what is it? I can't answer that for you. Only you can answer that for yourself. But I can tell you this, with a certainty, according to the Word of God, you will never have joy, you will never know peace, until for you to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Until that is true, beloved, you will hold tenaciously to the things of this life and of this world, which cannot produce in you the joy and the peace of mind that God can. It's impossible. So here's the challenge. Growing in Christ to the place that the greatest treasure, the greatest privilege, the greatest purpose, the greatest peace and joy, the greatest desire is knowing Christ and proclaiming His fame and glory to a lost and dying world. I began by saying this, your future is in God's hands. It is. Whichever way it goes, it's in His hands. Will you give Him your life? Jesus gave His life for you. Will you give your life to Him? Paul knew his future was not his own. His body was not his own. His reputation was not his own. And he knew the secret to joy and peace was to have the mindset that says this, Lord, whatever comes, I want Christ to be glorified. My life is not my own. I have been bought with a price. Therefore, my greatest desire is to exalt Him in my body, and my greatest ambition is to bear fruit for the glory of God. This is the way to peace and joy. Let's pray together. Father, I plead with You this morning on the basis of Your Word and Your Spirit to make us understand these things. Lord, our lives are Yours. You created us. You brought us to this place today, this moment, this hour, to hear these words from Your Scriptures and to consider them and the gravity that they have on our lives. Lord, help us to release ourselves to You. Help us to give ourselves to You completely as You gave Yourself to us completely, Lord. Help us to give ourselves to You completely, not partially, but wholly, Lord. Give ourselves to You. Lord, I pray that You would take away every hindrance, every stronghold, every vain imagination that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ in this room. And that You will have full access and full reign in every heart and every life. Lord, we are Yours. As we sung earlier, our lives are in You, Lord. I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Be Thou my vision, Lord. You are good, Lord. You are gracious and merciful. Loving kindness fills Your being. You extend out Your arms and Your hand, Your words to us, saying, come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, I pray for a Christian in this room that is struggling, having hardship, they're depressed, they're going through hard times, difficulties of various difficulties, Lord. Lord, please help them know that the grace of God is available, that peace and joy can come as we relinquish those things to You, to cast our burdens upon You because You care for us, Lord. Help us to do that, Lord. And I pray for that person, Lord, who does not know salvation in Christ. They could not fill in the blank for to me to live as Christ and to die as gain. They have no certainty for the present life nor for the future, Lord, for eternity. I pray, Holy Spirit, that You would please speak to the hearts of those who are yet to embrace Christ. Lord, for those looking for a church home, if Your Holy Spirit is leading them to put their lives here with us, with this particular body of Christ, that, Lord, You would work in their hearts and draw them to Yourself here. Lord, we give ourselves to You as one in Your presence this morning for the declaration of the gospel, for the building up of Your kingdom, for building up Your church, Lord, for bringing You glory and honor in all that we do and all that we say. Have Your way, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.